So, Father, that would ever be our song. You paid our debt. You preserved us. You qualified us even to be here, to be called your children. Thank you for bringing us to this service. We look up unto you as you speak your word unto us. Father, I have nothing to offer your children. They have come, O God, expecting your blessing, your mercy, your deliverance, your healing to your word. And so, Father, all of us are here together as a church, but visit us one-on-one. Visit us, O God, as individuals. Speak unto our hearts, Abba Father. Let your word come with fire. Help us to touch the life and the spirit in your word, and let your name alone be glorified. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Today, as we know, is Palm Sunday, the triumphant, as we celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And I want to take my theme from Luke. I want to take the Luke version of the triumphant entry, Luke chapter 19. Please go with me. Luke chapter 19, I will read verse 29, verse 30, and verse 31. The whole story of the donkey that Jesus rode on started from this verse 28 and stopped at verse 42 or 43. But we know the story, we are not going to start reading all again. So I read from verse 29, and it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Verse 31. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord had need of him. Amen. Amen. Also, the prophets prophesied this in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. We can have it there on the screen. We may not have time to read all. I want to take a theme that says, lose him and bring him here. Lose him and bring him here. Some versions said, untie him and bring him here. Lose him. So whichever version you want to take, you can say, lose him, untie him, and bring him here. Can we all say it together, please? Can we say it louder? Amen. I started by looking at the issue of triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And I was just wondering, was that the first time that Jesus entered into Jerusalem? I think Jesus has been going about preaching in the streets. But what made this particular entering into Jerusalem, a special one? Why was it called triumphant entry? And that is what attracted me again as I read the story. Why is it tagged triumphant entry? What made it so special that things started happening? People came out, and that is where we picked the issue of our pamphlet. They were dropping their clothes, leaves, and pamphlet all on the ground. And now it brought me also to realize that it was an entry that ushered us into the Holy Week. From tomorrow, we start the Holy Week, all the programs planned. Jesus entered, and then he cleansed the temple, and then so many other things that are that within the week until Friday when he was crucified. And so I'm seeing that the triumphant entry of Jesus is an entry that brought us an opening. It wasn't any kind. It was not just ordinary entry. It was an entry that exposed us onto the cross. It was an entry that brought salvation. It was an entry that brought Jesus to the place of sacrifice that made us free. It was an entry that lifted us from under the control of the enemy and set our feet on the high places, set us seated in the high places with Jesus. It is an entry that introduced the cross, the place of sacrifice, the place of healing, the place of deliverance, the place of our salvation. It was an entry that brought us this. So as we celebrate today, you know, we are Methodist, and some churches don't, they say it is an old thing, ancient, archaic thing to hold palm to church. But we Orthodox churches, we go to the extreme. And I'm happy. I am a Methodist. If you're here, you're happy. Can I see you wave your palms unto the Lord again and say, Father, thank you. Say, Hosanna to the Lord. The entry that brought freedom to me, that entry brought life unto us. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And so if we read the story, we know that there are so many significances attached to this entry, to the donkey that Jesus was used, to the disciples, even to this palm frond. So many things, there are significances at every stage, if we should follow them one on one to bring forth the lessons, because we are not just triumphing, we are not just celebrating like people that do not know what we are doing. There are strong lessons and significances that God has brought to us. And I said there are so many, but I'll just pick very few of them. I want to bring the lessons from the disciples, and then from the tied donkey. And then, if time permits, I will also talk about the Pharisees and the priest. And as this word came, I pray that whatever the Lord has for you, you will not miss it in Jesus' name. And so the first thing, what do I talk about the disciples? What are we learning? What is the significance? You know, Jesus just called them and said, go there. You will see the next village. Someone one day in the Bible study was saying, it's just like you are with Jesus or you are with someone, your boss in Gariki. And then he said, just go down to Wuse. You will see a car parked there. Just go and start it. If anybody asks you, just tell the person that the master needs it. So it's like that. Jesus called his disciples, two of them, two among the many. And he said, go to the next village there. There is a donkey tied there. Go and untie it. And if any man asks you, tell them there's an urgency upon that donkey because the master needs it immediately. There is an urgency. And so what I want to bring about out here is the authority from Jesus. The first thing I'm seeing that the disciples received the authority to go and untie, to go and loose. They receive authority. Jesus has been going with them, training them, but that day he gave them authority. Say, go and loose. Go and untie. That is the first thing that came to me. And so the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is an entry that brought about the authority and the authenticity of Jesus Christ upon our lives. He declared and gave them authority. He said, go, go. And so I receive the authority. We receive the authority that begins with the triumphant entry. And then that took him into the cross. That is the first point. It brought authority. Hello? Hello? I don't know if you are excited about that. Jesus released authority into your hand. Can I hear you say, I have authority in Christ. Worthy is the Lamb. And then that is a part of Jesus. Then the disciples. And I was wondering, why didn't they raise objections? Why didn't they ask questions? Say, Oga, hey, who is the owner of the donkey now? You just say, go and tie. What if somebody harasses us? What do we say? They didn't even ask a question. Why? Why didn't they ask Jesus? What if they stop us? What if they attack us? What if they call us thieves? They didn't ask that question. Why? And it dawned on me that these ones, They have followed Jesus from the beginning. They have heard him teach. They saw him perform miracles. Just about a week before that day, they witnessed and they saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the death. So they've heard him. They've seen him done many things. And there is no way they could doubt him. They believed. Can I hear you say they believed? I believe. And so for you to receive that authority from the master, there is a believing. There must be a believing. Doubt must finish from me. For me to receive the authority to go and untie, to go and loose. And so they received that authority, they believed. And like those who knew him exactly where they were going, remember Jesus said to the next village, even the name of that village was not even given. And so they started going. Some people who are learned, maybe who were learned, they will say, you people are foolish. How can you believe a foolish talk like that? But this one, they believed because they knew who they were following. They knew who they have encountered and they followed. Amen. Amen. So the message for you is believe. Let every doubt in your heart finish. Because he that came, he that entered, and he that went to the cross, there is authority he has released unto us. And then another question that came into my heart is, why didn't Jesus pick two people from the crowd? You know, Jesus, anywhere he go to, he went teaching, crowds follow him. They clustered around him. And each time he wants to use or send, he must always look for a disciple. It was his disciples that he sent. He told them, two of you, go. Why didn't he pick among the crowd? And also, I'm learning that Jesus has not much to do with people who follow afar. He doesn't have much to do with people who are not coming closer to him. Jesus will want to use you. He will want to hand over his authority unto you when you come to him. When you approach, he said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He only received that authority when you have come unto Jesus. And when he has seen upon your life, and when he has delivered his life unto you. When his own life has been robbed upon your life. When he is certain that this one would not disappoint me, and then he can send you. And so are you still following Jesus from afar? Have you come to Jesus? You may have come to church, but have you really come to Jesus? You may be coming for programs, but have you personally encountered Jesus? Have you sat with him in fellowship? Has he followed you up, taught and trained you to follow him? This morning, the word of God is coming on this day again, on this triumphant entry, the Palm Sunday. Do not follow from afar. Because the master may not have much to do with you. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And so that is the issue of disciples. I don't know if you had followed what we picked from there. First, the disciples did what? Believed. Secondly, there is what? An authority. Don't forget that you have an authority. And then Jesus picked his disciples. And not strangers, not the free build. Amen. So we go to the nest, the donkey that was tied. What are the lessons for us to pick from this donkey? And I have three issues, 3 points from this donkey. Number one, that donkey was tied for a purpose. Tied for a purpose. Tied. For a purpose. Tied for a purpose. I took time to read all the different books, John, Luke, and even Mark. It's in Luke that I realized that who tied that donkey there? There was an owner that tied it. Because when they came, the Bible said the owner asked them, why are you untying it? So this owner tied this colt, this donkey, and kept it there, waiting for the time that it will be used. What are the significance of the tied cord? This tied cord depended on the owner for food. It is not among the free breed. that goes about anywhere, that eat anything they want to eat, that enter any bush they feel like entering, that do everything they want to do. This colt, this donkey was tied, trimmed. The owner was watching what it eats. You know, sometimes it's even what the colt wants to eat is not what the owner was providing. Yet, it was eating it. It was tied there, watched over the master, the owner watched over it, not allowing this donkey to misbehave. So this donkey was being trimmed, being trained, being fashioned to fit into the purpose of the master. Was trimmed, fashioned into the purpose of carrying the master. Amen. Amen. What am we picking from here? If there is a purpose for you with Jesus, your life must be trimmed. My life must be trained. Even the food we eat must be trimmed. My lifestyle, my fashion, the business I do, everything I do must fit. It must be fashioned into the purpose that my maker had made me, so that I will be able to carry him and carry his purpose. So if you want to be used, if you want God to bring you into his purpose, you must submit yourself for training. You must submit yourself for trimming. You must submit yourself for learning. You must not do what others do. May I tell you, it means that this court must not do anything. It means that there are some businesses I must not do. It's not anyhow money I must make. It's not everything that counts for me. Why? Because there is a training and there is a purpose upon my life, upon your life, to carry the master. If you must carry Jesus, your life must be trimmed. Your life must be trained. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Can I hear you say, my life will be trimmed. My life will be trained. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, even though we are in this era, Jesus must not be carried anyhow. Jesus must not be carried anyhow. It is not anyhow life that must carry Jesus. If that donkey was not trained, if it was not trimmed, imagine what would have happened when the crowd came, you know, putting their clothes, putting leaves. It would have puffed up. And who knows, it would have thrown Jesus down and say, keep there, stay there, they are celebrating me. If your life is not trained, just a little opening, you realize that your head is swelling already. Why? Because training has not taken place. But this morning, you are tied for a purpose. Amen. Remember that tying sometimes may not be palatable. And there are some challenges you are passing. God is training you. God is dealing with you. And he is waiting for your time of celebration. And you may be complaining and say, why am I passing through all this? It is because Jesus is training you for the time of celebration. Amen. Can you tell somebody, Jesus is training you? Your time of celebration is here. Your time of celebration is near. You must carry Jesus and you will not throw him down. Amen. Amen. So the heir of that donkey is tied for a purpose. The second thing, there are some people who have been tied by the enemy. Hello? Hello? There are people who has been tied by the enemy. The enemy of our souls, devil himself. And they are tied there, for only God knows how long they have been there. There are people that even before they were born, negotiations have been made upon their head. This one, as he's growing, he will do like this. She will do like this. Their lives have been negotiated upon. There are some people that sacrifices have been made upon them. Altars have been raised against them without them knowing. And as they are growing, everywhere they are going to, that sacrifice and the altars have been speaking against their life. You see them put one leg forward. They put another one as they want to shoot out. The rope that they tie say, come back here. There is an agreement on your head that you must not grow beyond this. One voice raises and say, your forefather has paid the price. There is a controversy over your head. You cannot go beyond this. There are people who are like that. They have changed businesses, changed location. They even change names. They tell them it is your name that is speaking against you. Your name means death. Your name means kill. Go and answer the name that means victory. Your life will change. Some they will say, go and make a sacrifice. Your life will change. They have done all this, but yet the voice is still speaking. They cannot go beyond that because they have been tied by an enemy. An enemy has done that. Hello. Hello. And so they keep struggling. They keep struggling. All over their lives, they keep struggling. So many people struggle for the rest of their days. They were not able to shoot out. They were not able to change. They kept struggling. But what do we have today? Remember that Jesus brought authority. There is an authority. Can you imagine that when those disciples came to untie, there was a voice that raised an objection. Hello? He said, why are you untying it? And what did they answer? What did they answer? There is an urgency upon this donkey. The master wants to use it immediately. There are some of us, some people, because they've been tired. Each time a help tried to come onto them, each time someone wants to release them, there will be an objection from the pit of hell. And someone say, objection, please. You cannot release this because he's been tied to me for 20 years and his life will continue to be tied. Objection, please. You cannot release this lady even though she is fine and doing well, but she cannot marry well. Objection, please. That marriage will not work. No matter what you do, your marriage will not work because price has been paid against you. Objection, please. You will continue to suffer in this pattern until the end of your time. Objections. Hello? Hello? But when the men with authority came, Riba Shakataya, what did they say? They said, objection overruled. Objection stopped. There is urgency upon this life. He must be relieved. There is an escape for you. There is a release for you. Because the master with the authority, the real owner of the donkey, has come. Worthy is the Lamb. Can I hear you say, there is an urgency upon my life. The master needs me. The master needs me. I must escape because the fowler is broken and I am escaping like a bird. Amen. And so the objection was overruled. He said, you must proceed to your place of destiny. You must proceed for your place of calling. You must proceed to the place of your purpose. You must proceed because the master has come to break every yoke, to break every rule, to break every argument. I love this song. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. There is no other argument upon my head. There is no other negotiation. I don't need to pay another price. But because Jesus has paid the highest price with his life, and I have escaped. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. If you believe this and you are excited about it, can I hear you wave your palm again and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because every objection that is raised against me is overruled, is overcome. Because I have escaped, because I am free, because I am proceeding to the place of my calling. Hallelujah. Amen. worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. The third point about the donkey, is that there are some people who are tied by sin. Tied by sin. You know, you may not take this one more serious, but this is more serious than the other one. There are some people who are handicapped because of sin. There's particular sin that they always fall in, and the devil will deceive them and said, this is your weakness, just accept it. And you accept and say, it is my weakness. I hear people say, women is my weakness. This is my weakness. This is my weakness. Why are you accepting weaknesses when Jesus has given you the power? Bible says that many that believe him, he gave what? The power to be children of God. And so sin has made some people entangled, tied. There are some people that sin has tied their tongues that they cannot say the truth. Elder, you are respected in the community, in the office, but because your mouth has been tied with corruption, each time you see that it is reading boldly black, and you keep looking, and then you will adjust your glasses and say, this is white. Even when you're sure it is black. Why? Because your mouth has been tied by bribery, corruption, sin. Young ladies, your life is tied in that relationship because you cannot escape. You have taken much. If I escape, who will pay my bills? Who will pay the house rent? And you have remained there. Let me tell you what the devil does. First of all, he realizes where you feel you are weak. Then he set a trap for you. And each time you come there, you fall into the trap. You can come into the church and speak in tongues and vibrate. But as you're going, he said, come, I know where to meet you. I'm going to wait for you there. You will fall there. And then he will set a trap. Just the same way Jacob set a trap for Esau. Because he knew the weakness. He loves food, porridge for that matter. He said, I know when he is hungry, I will set a trap for him. The devil waits at the door and he sets trap for you. And so many of us, we accept with thanksgiving and joy. And you say, it's my weakness. Your life, if your life is tied with sin, you can never escape. You will not fulfill God's purpose. Let me tell you, you'll be doing like this. One step forward, five step backward. Why? Because there is a sin that is speaking against you. You are tied there. You cannot escape. And what the devil does is that when he lures and gets you, then he fills your heart with guilt. Every time you remember it, he tells you, you are not among those that have been called. But this morning, you can shame the devil. Something happened on Monday. Last Monday, we went for evangelism, Methodist Evangelical Movement. We went for evangelism. I was paired with chaplain, and we were speaking to two young men. While we were speaking, their heart were glued to what we were saying. But when we finished, we wanted to give them opportunity to accept Jesus. We asked the first person, he said, by the grace of God, I've given my life. The other one said, ha, me. I married two wives too. I'm a husband of two wives. And I saw a man who has already condemned himself, who the enemy has told there's no space for you in the paradise again because you married two wives. But thank God we tried to make him understand. We told him that, you see, your problem is not two wives. You are not a sinner because you married two wives. You are not a sinner because you are stealing. You are not a sinner because you fornicated. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We are sinners because we are born into the nature of sin. And the only deliverance is to take a decision. And when Jesus comes into your life, he takes care of every other thing. But if you keep saying, I'll stop smoking, I'll stop this, I'll stop that, you will stop one, then we come up. First of all, you must take a decision. And when we give the man opportunity to take a decision, you know what he did? he shook his head. He said, give me more time. Ha! Some people are so proud. They are enjoying sin. Give me more time. Where do we see you again? I kept praying for him. There are some people who has taken their life. You think your life is in your hand. When I'm done, then I'll go to Jesus. Even if you're done, Jesus will forgive you. There may be a scar that will never be deleted. And so this morning, I want to round off. The Lord is saying, what is it that tied you down? Are you tied by sin? You are there living in that sin. You have given up your love. The devil keeps giving you guilt. But you can step out now. That is why Jesus came with authority, came with deliverance. You can take a decision first. We are going to rise to pray. The other one, we may not talk about because of time. The issue of Pharisees and Sadducees, I just want to say, those ones, they missed their visitation. You will not miss visitation. You know, they've been searching, reading scrolls to know when Messiah will come. They have all the clues. They cram all the prophecies. But when the Messiah entered into Jerusalem, they missed it. Some were shouting on Jesus, saying, stop them! They are doing what they're doing is wrong. That's blasphemy. The Bible says even the priests were so angry. And that was when they started planning killing. You will not miss your visitation. Tell your neighbor you will not miss your visitation. Rise upon your feet. I want to lead you in two prayers and we'll go. Just rise upon your feet and let us pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray. We've seen so many things that the Lord has brought us here. I don't know what has tied you. Let's begin with the tying of the enemy. I don't know what has tied you. Are experiencing confusion over your life, over your marriage, upon your children. Open your mouth and begin to pray. And say, Father, I step out. I walk out by the authority of my owner. My real owner is Jesus. It doesn't matter who has paid the price in the past. It doesn't matter who made sacrifices. The owner said, I must move. I must proceed. Open your mouth and pray. I step out from every confusion. I step out of every controversy, of every issue attached to my life. That I'm not doing well. It may be because of this, but I step out of it. Thank you, Jesus. And the greatest of all, you are here. You want to join me. You want to join me. I'm not taking myself out of this. Want to join me to ask Jesus, untie me from every besetting sin, untie me from every deceit of the enemy. Please raise your hand and pray with me. Pray with me. Tell the devil, you cannot use me any longer. Open your mouth and pray. Say, Father, untie me. I come to you. As many that comes, it is them that he unties. If you pray this prayer and you mean it, I want you to know that something great is already starting in your life. That sin that the enemy has capitalized and you claim it as your family business, it runs in the family. This morning, the man of authority has come and he is saying, you are delivered. Step out. You only need to take a decision. You will not do like that man and say, me and this and that. Take a decision this morning and say, Jesus, I come. You said, come. And I come. Let your power, that power of salvation, follow me in this day. I come. You paid my price. I come. As you pray this prayer, continue in this prayer, and you will see greater things. Continue to pray, and the Lord Himself will be your deliverer. I need a Jesus who washed my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song, amazing grace.
Lord Jesus, spare the death that I could.